This recording is provided by Christian Missionary Fellowship International, Boston. You're welcome to make free distribution to friends. However, all for-profit distribution is a violation of existing copyright and other applicable laws. For more information about our churches, visit www.cmfiboston.org.
Matthew chapter 25, verse 19 to verse 23. Okay, I like zealous people. When you find the passage, just stand up and read it for us.
After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received the 5 talents brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. The man with the 2 talents also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 talents. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Praise the Lord. Then the man who had received the 1 talent came. Master, he said, I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your talent in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers, so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. Take the talent from him, and give it to the one who has the 10 talents. For everyone who has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. And throw that worthless servant aside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth.
Brethren, what God rewards is faithfulness. What God rewards is not performance. What God rewards is faithfulness. Faithfulness with what you have received. Here were 3 servants. One was given 5 talents. Because God has not promised any equality in the distribution of his abilities. He gives 5 talents to some, and gives 2 talents to others, and gives 1 talent to another. And he tells them, trade. There is the gifting of God, and there is the commission of God to use that which he has entrusted to you. We serve God with what we have. So make sure you know what you have. Take the time to ascertain clearly what you have. Because your future depends on it. The man who got 5 talents, the Bible says he put it to work. He worked at it. He multiplied it and had 5 more talents. So that when the master came, he brought the master 10 talents. In exchange for the 5 talents, that he had previously received from the master. Between the 5 talents and the 10 talents, the only contribution was work. It was work added to the 5 talents that turned it into 10 talents. And he brought it to the master. And then the master gives him his congratulations. Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been trustworthy with a little. Now I'll put you in charge of much. Enter into the joy of your master. Those who work hard at using what God has given to them, one, they will please the Lord who entrusted what he gave to them. Two, it will determine their eternal rank and what they will do in the kingdom of God. What you will do in the kingdom of God depends on what you are doing with what God has given to you today. And three, the master points to that which made them and that which pleases him. What pleased him was not the 10 talents. What pleased him was that the servant was good and faithful. What pleased him was not the performance. What pleased him was the attitude of the servant. That's goodness. And the faithfulness of the servant in fulfilling the assignment which the master had entrusted to him. And the guy who got 2 talents comes back to say, Master, you gave me 2 talents. I've worked hard. I got 2 more. The master does not say, look at you. You are starting capital. You can't even get up to the starting capital of the other servants. The final outcome of this guy with 2 talents was not even up to the beginning capital of the other fellow with 5 talents. But the master says, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a little. I'll put you in charge of much. Enter into the joy of your master. Exactly the same words. The reward was for faithfulness. And then this fellow comes along and says, Master, I understand what you are up to. I've been watching you all along. You like exaggerated percentages of profit. You give others a lot of capital. You furnish me with only 1 talent. And then you expect a lot from me. Man, you won't con me around. I'm your equal in that. I have kept very well what you gave me. And I have what belongs to you. And the master tells him, you knew I like profit. That's good knowledge. If you knew I like profit, then you should have done everything to give me profit. But since you knew I like profit, and you don't go about getting me profit, you are wicked. You are wicked because you didn't even live up to your knowledge of me. Secondly, I gave you a talent and you have kept it and devalued it without working to increase the value. And you are lazy. All right. I'll deal with you according to your character. He told him, take away what he has. Give it to the one who has learned to use what is given to him better. Be careful about not using what God has given to you, because he will increase the spiritual gifts of others who are using what God has given to them. So that even you who has a spiritual gift which you are not using, you will find that you are able to do less and less than you could do before. And then the second thing, I find it devastating that Jesus considers laziness as a theological issue. We are lazy because of the way we think about God. Okay. Everybody said laziness is theological. Yeah. Laziness is a manner of thinking. Those who think that life has been unfair to them, that God has been unfair to them, those who have a grudge against God, don't work. Laziness is theological. It is not temperamental. Laziness is a translation of your theology, the way you think about God, and the way you think about your life. Those who feel that life has been unfair to them. You see, that's one of the problems of when we're reading the stories of Negro Americans. Most of the time, they live on handout, the charity, how do you call it? Your welfare system. Why? They have grown up believing that society has not been fair to them. They have grown up believing that life has not been fair. They have grown up believing that power was in the hands of every other person except them. So they refuse to take responsibility for their lives. And they become lazy and scavengers on the taxes of society. Laziness is theological. For the believer, if you are lazy, you hate God. You don't like him. You don't like the way he does things. You don't like the way he has distributed and handed his resources for management. Laziness is a way of thinking about God. Who has understood me? For children at home, laziness is their attitude towards their parents. Laziness is an ideology. Laziness is ideological. When you don't think of it in terms of God. But when you think of it in terms of God, laziness is theological. If you are lazy, it is a way of thinking. It is a feeling that life, that life owes something to you. That God owes something to you. Or that your parents owe something to you. And laziness is wickedness. It is a way of thinking. This fellow, whom God gave something to do, and who did not do it, he went to hell. Because when they say throw him out into the outer darkness where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. That's hell, of course. I've often wondered. Some go to hell for committing adultery. Some go to hell for abortion. This fellow went to hell by not serving God as God expected. He went to hell as a believer. For not doing what God asked him to do. Please don't go to hell through the church. At least if you want to go to hell through the nightclub. Why come all the way to church to go to hell? But this fellow went to hell through the church. He went to hell because of laziness. He went to hell because he would not use what God gave him to use. He went to hell because he would not do what God wanted him to do. He went to hell because he would not maximize his talents. He went to hell because he refused to serve God. Why waste all the time believing only to end up in hell? I mean, if I want to go to hell, I'll settle down and sin in an exaggerated manner before getting there. But why go to hell? By believing. Why believe? Come into the church. And then you sit down to have wrong ideas about God, about the unfairness of life to you, and enter into tantrums of depression and refuse to take responsibility for your life. You may play the games. You may be rehabilitated by society. You will go to hell. You better get out of the depression and get working. And do what God brought you to this world to do. Don't go to hell by believing and by coming to the church. At least I don't want to. According to Jesus in this passage, none of us has an option but to use what God has given to him and to multiply it. Failure is not tolerated in the life of the believer. It is not tolerated. It's not an option. You have got to succeed. You have got to do what God wants done. You do it for the very sake of your eternal life. You do it to please your master. You do it for your eternal rank. And you do it for your spiritual survival. I don't want to go to hell. So tomorrow morning I'll get up and work hard. Amen? Yeah. And you better start learning to give God accounts. Because God is the God who demands accountability. Even if you don't like the word accountability, please, better start being accountable. God is the one that demands it. And he demands it in order to determine what to do with you. God rewards faithfulness. God rewards goodness of heart. And a good heart is a person who uses what God has given him in order that God may gain something from his life. Each one of you should sit down very quietly and ask, what has God gotten out of my life? What has Jesus gotten out of my life for saving me? In the parable of the sower, you all know that the seed that fell on the good soil is the one that brought forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60-fold. I've often thought that the minimum that God considers as fruitfulness is 30. Make sure you have won 30 souls that you can count. And make sure that they don't backslide in the next few years. That is the minimum guarantee that you are the right seed. The minimum guarantee that you are a normal seed is that you have 30 souls. If you are wise, because of the wear and tear of time, you better win 3,000. So that even if it is weathered down to the minimum, you will be sure at least of 30 in eternity. Jesus says, that is the good seed, the good soil. God looks at the dividends from your hearing the gospel in order to characterize you as either good or bad seed or bad soil. Mary, don't sleep. If you feel like sleeping because I'm boring you, just come and give me a good boxing. I will shout louder so that you don't get bored. But brethren, these are just sober facts. The sober facts are that God is interested in the maximizing of the potential of redemption in you. After you get saved, God wants some fruit out of your life. God is looking for fruit from your life. God is expecting dividends from the resources that he has entrusted to you. Resources of brain, resources of money. That's why I was talking yesterday about man's pocket being saved. That's the minimum anybody can give to God. God demands so much more of our personality that you can use money to cheat your way by investing it into God. That God is expecting dividends. If you have a happy marriage and God has blessed you and God has invested into you, please let's just get it clear. That wicked servant, at least he got one thing clear, that God wanted profit. The only thing he did not get clear is that if he doesn't give God a profit, he will have to pay for it. That's the only thing he never got clear until it was too late. But as for knowing that God wanted profit from his life, then his theology was very correct. And please, brethren, get your theology right. Jesus owns your life. And you see, you have good business to die on the cross and actually shed his blood to get you. It wasn't for nothing. Jesus is into good business. He thought that you were worthwhile business. So that when he saves you, he's going to get a lot out of you. Amen? Yeah, it wasn't just you to get a lot out of his death. It was so that he will get a lot out of you. That's a good bargain. Not so. He paid all the price so that you may get everything out of him. That's a great investment. Now, he wants to get as much out of you as is possible. Minimum rent, dividends, 300, no, 30-fold is what? It's 3,000 or 300%. 3,000% in the bank of heaven, minimum profit, 3,000%. And Jesus is investing into you. So if you have still got a little time before you die, please wake up. Do something before you face your accountability to Christ. He wants a minimum of 30-fold from you and I. And from some, he wants a 100-fold. And if you love him, you can give him 1,000-fold. Jesus rewards faithfulness. Jesus rewards faithfulness. And faithfulness involves using what God has called you and given to you so that God gains. Is that clear? This is not a revelation. This is just 1 + 1 = 2. Is it clear? God has saved you. He's waiting for 30 from you to find out whether you are truly converted. Because the categories of conversion, they were 3. The one that fell on stony soil. The Bible says he received the gospel with great joy. And it grew. It was defeated by the circumstances of life. And the Bible does not count those ones as converts. They are in the church. They believed. And the day they believed, it was great celebration and joy. What they lack is not eternal life. They have it. What they lack is roots. If you lack roots, you are lost. And then there were other converts. They received it. The seed sprouted and grew. But it began to be choked by the thorns. And Jesus does not leave us to guess what the thorns are. He tells us what the thorns are. The pleasures of this life. The cares of the world. The desire for many things. So that even though there is life and there is growth and there is fruit, the Bible says the fruit does not reach maturity. Why? Worldliness preempts maturity. Worldliness produces an effect on our fruitfulness so that our fruit does not last. And what is sad is, with all the growth, with all the fruit, with all the levels, the Bible doesn't even consider that seed as true conversion. These are all people going to hell in the church. And the Bible says, the true seed, no, rather, the good soil is where the seed fell and multiplied itself minimum 30 times. Minimum 30 times. I want to give you some caution. You are a believer. Until you can count 30 people whom you have led to Christ for now, who are abiding. And if I were you, I would advise you to get many more. So that in the next 10 years, if anyone drops less than 30, you can be at least sure that your 30 are there for the day you will appear before Jesus. Because Jesus is not joking. Salvation was not so that you and I will have a great time. Salvation was so that Jesus may get why he created you and brought you to this world. Salvation is not all about you and I. Being healed, being saved from hell, being delivered from curses, it's all there. That's in the atonement. But the purpose of the atonement was to bring you back into a normal state so that God can get out of your life what he created you for. The goal is not what God does for you. The goal is what God will get out of you when you are normal. God rewards faithfulness, not just performance. Whatever you are assigned as, work at it and be faithful. And be faithful. I'd like three people to pray that will understand it. God rewards faithfulness. Say amen. God rewards faithfulness. Pinch yourself and make sure you heard. Pinch yourself a little and make sure you heard. God rewards faithfulness. And please, it's good you hear it now so that if you have a little time, you can work. The night is coming when no one can work. The Lord Jesus says, I must do the works of him who sent me. While it is yet, night is coming when nobody can work. Work. And let your life pay. Let it be worthwhile that Jesus saved you. Let it be worthwhile. That the gospel reached you. I'd like a few people to pray that will understand this. And not only understand it, but grasp it with our hearts.
Father, I thank you. God of heaven, I beg you. mighty name of Jesus. I thank you that you've saved me and redeemed me, that you've picked me up from this trash, the world of darkness, where I was residing, not knowing what to do, and brought me up to the light. I thank you, Father, that in the seed of billions of people on earth, you picked me. I thank you because nobody can love like you love. Because of your greatness, Father, I thank you because you reward faithfulness, good heart, hard working, and greatness. I thank you for shining the light again today on the fact that laziness has to do with theology instead of just being tired. Thank you for shining that light unto us today. Your word says that I shall know the truth, and the truth shall set me free. I pray today that truth set me free, Father. I understand that you did not save me so I can go and hide in the closet and be grateful that I'll go to heaven by myself. No, I understand that you saved me so I can work hard, so I can bring back dividends. I pray, Father, that today you allow me to bring back the 300% that you ask of me. To bring the 30 people to you at the very least. I pray that you give me the strength to bear more and more fruit and to do everything that you have asked me to do and to grow more and more faithful to you. I thank you, Father, that you allow me to do your will and your will alone. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.
When we come back, we are going to continue to look at the issue of faithfulness today. But today, I want us to settle the matter of faithfulness to God. We have handled two things. One, mind your assigned task. Don't use leadership to assume prerogatives that you do not have. Mind your assigned task. Secondly, within your assigned task, mind faithfulness. It is faithfulness that God rewards. It is faithfulness that God rewards. Our next message will be training to be faithful. If God rewards faithfulness, then we need to value faithfulness and train to be faithful. When we come back in the afternoon, that's our next message. And after that, we shall look at examples of faithfulness. And lastly, the challenge of faithfulness. That will be our message for today on faithfulness.